And one of the things with this sermon series that we're after is to bring correction to maybe an instinct that would lead us to an either or rather than what the scripture would call us to in a both and. Okay, so that's why the and is here. And today I want to have us consider head and heart, right? So in our worship, in our walk, in the Christian life, there is more than just knowledge. There is to be knowledge, yes, to the head, but also to the heart, okay? One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Psalm 119, verse 162. That's my main verse, but you'll see we're going to be in a variety of places today as we consider this topic. This is what the psalmist overflows with as he says this. He says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." Now, let's say this together, okay? I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Now, what a privilege to be among those who can say, that's my experience in my walk with God. That is what happens for me when I open this incredible book. To rejoice like one who finds great spoil. That's what I shared with the men a couple weeks back and what I got to share with hundreds of middle schoolers over at Linden Christian this past week. There is nothing greater as far as treasure goes than Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Think, we have revelation of God. I rejoice at your word. Now, the word here, I rejoice like one who finds great spoil. Don't miss that. This is not just churchy talk, okay? Sometimes when we see words like rejoice, it feels sort of pious, like we should clasp our hands and stand up straight and say, rejoice. I rejoice. Very serious and somberly. Friends, this is not just that. It's far more than that. This is a crescendo. This is an overflow of emotion. I rejoice at your word. It's just blowing my mind. I can't believe how awesome you are, oh God. I pray in your walk with God that regularly you are overcome in this way. That as you're in the word, as you're reading, as you're in communion with the Lord, considering the reality of who he is and what he's done for you, that you crescendo in this way. If you can do this at a Seahawk game, much more, indeed, over things of eternal significance. I rejoice at your word. Okay, there's the both and. The both and. Rejoicing over truth. The head and the heart functioning here in this one verse. So let's talk about the need for the and a little bit. I want to give some context. Why is this a sermon that I think is important for us to hear, for me to hear, for the church broadly to hear? The need for the and is real. There are out there what you might call truth churches. Truth churches. They would say without words, it's all about knowing. It's just all about knowing. We need to know. We need to know things. Now, it's not wrong to know, right? It's good to know. But it's not an end in itself. Knowing is not the goal. Knowing is not enough. Satan knows. The demons know, right? There is a world of difference between knowing and loving. It's all about knowing. Now, right thoughts, we esteem right thoughts. Sound doctrine, absolutely. Let's tenaciously pursue it. Let's get after it. Let's make sure that what we believe is what the Word of God teaches. What we believe about God is what God has revealed about God. And where we are off, we adjust in humility. We let God be who he is. We don't push him into a mold. And we need this. We need our minds renewed by the word of God. Our instinct of who he is always off. It's far too small. So the word of God opens our eyes and it transforms our thinking to fit more and more his infinite glory. Right thoughts and sound doctrine. But it is dangerously possible to have a church or a Christian or person in the church who is doctrinally sound. You ask them all the questions and they can give all the answers. But they are emotionally sedated, emotionally numb, neutral, or even dead, more concerningly. To be emotionally dead, lifeless. I mean, like, you know stuff, but you're not a worshiper. There are things that keep me awake at night. One of the things I think about often is the warning Jesus gave. Lord, Lord, we went to Good Shepherd Bible Church all our days. We were there for years. We were members of the church. We stood and we sat. We heard and we nodded. We left and we did this and we did it all in your name. And then for someone to hear, depart from me. I never knew you. Worker of lawlessness. How can that happen? I'll tell you how. If you know the things in your head, but there is nothing happening in your heart. It's not enough to know things. We must know and love. We must be worshipers of God. If knowledge is an end, it will lead us down what I would call the proud path of joyless precisionism. Another label you could put on this would be legalism. Because what is the end then? What is the effect of all this knowledge? Well, it puffs up. It makes proud. It creates comparisons and judgments. Rather than explode in worship of the one who is worthy of all praise, the praise begins to attach to the one who knows the most. And those who have farther to go are looked down upon, and all of a sudden we can become Pharisees. You see how this happens? When knowledge is an end in itself, worship is lost. Knowledge is not an end in itself. It is the means to another end, that is worship. That which is true should drive us to something beyond ourselves, something that would humble us in awe and wonder. So let us together, brothers and sisters, avoid the proud path of joyless precisionism. Are we to be precise? Yes. Are we to be doctrinally sound? Absolutely so. To the glory of God, to the wonder and awe that we would be recipients of his grace and kindness, to the amazement that we get to enjoy him forever, that we would be found in humility saying, who am I and great are you, right? I'm the wretch the song's about who has received amazing grace. It's what John Newton would want us to know today as well. Now, there are another category of churches out there. There's a category I would call emotion churches, where they're, without words again probably, but the vibe, the general vibe is it's all about feelings here. From the moment you walk in, you kind of get this thing like they're working hard. They want us to feel some stuff. We're here to feel. We're here to feel. Felt needs, that's where the preaching targets. It's what can I do to affirm you, to make you feel good about yourself and your life, and build you up and create for you an experience here today. So you'll be caught up in something. It's all about feeling. Often this leads to what I would call manipulative worship, where context and smoke and lasers and glitter blowing out of the air ducts and all kinds of like confetti, you know, explosions and whatever. Why all the hubbub? Why all the stuff? Well, you gotta stir the heart, right? You gotta get people fired up and lose themselves in the emotion of the moment. Never let truth get in the way of a good worship service. Would be the mantra here, which leads inevitably to doctrinal compromise. It does. It does. You downplay truth because you know what? It might kind of get in the way of the awesome experience we're after here. So, boy, that's a little hard to hear. Let's not mention it. This is a little complicated. Let's avoid it. The cross, well, it's pretty bloody. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it that much. Let's just talk about you. Friends, you see this all over in our day as well. And here's the battle that we have, especially for those who have come from churches like this in your past. The inclination is like, okay, we got to get away from this, right? And I understand that. I get that. However, let us not swing so far that we create an either or. We've got to stay faithful to the both and. We've got to live with the and. We need the and. The pursuit of emotional highs is one that never ends. It's a shallow pursuit, and it is a pursuit that oftentimes will drive people to this and then down. And then you want to have another experience, and then you drop again. And it is an endless pursuit, but at the end of the day, where's the ground beneath your feet? You need something firm to stand upon. More than experience. Experience is not enough. Ethan and I went to a Seahawks game a number of years ago, and man, what a cool experience it was. We got stuck in a traffic jam. That was not cool. The first quarter was underway, and the place was packed, and we're coming up the steps to the stadium. It's just an epic experience. You're walking up the steps, and as we're just beginning up the steps, the Seahawks must have scored or something happened big. And the crowd, it was my first time ever at the stadium. The ground shook. I could not believe how loud it was there. And we walk in cheering. We're like, yeah, look at this. This is amazing. And we were lost with the emotion of the moment. The crowd is going crazy. But here's what had to happen. At some point, we had to stop and say, why are we cheering? What's going on? This is great. Yes. What happened? Like, why are we doing this? You see what I'm saying? Emotional highs have to have a reason that grounds it, something glorious to stir it. You can't just create emotion and expect it to sustain. There is a time where your eyes have to move from the fans to the field, right? And I think a lot of times churches just want to give the experience of just we're all together, we're just rocking out, this is just awesome, and come back next week, we'll do it again. But where's the field? Like, what's happening on the field? That's where the joy originates. That's where we've got to start when we consider worship. So, head and heart, Christian. Head and heart. Truth and emotion. Yes, Christian. Truth and emotion. Say yes to these both. Discovery and delight. Doctrine and doxology. They must always go together. If theology does not land you on your knees saying, great are you, you have not done theology. You have not finished the work of theology. Affirmations of truth that should lead to affections for God. Okay? Sorry, I just love alliterating. The truth and emotion is bugging me because there's a T and an E, but we'll leave it for now. So let's go on now. The reason we exist, this is nothing that you don't already know, but I want to just put this up front because it's so significant. The Westminster Shorter Catechism begins with the question, what is the chief end of man? And the response goes this way. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Okay, now that's not surprising. You exist for the glory of God. So does everything that he made. Everything he made, it's about him. The word and I enjoy changing to by because it's not in addition to, it's how. How do you glorify God? This is how. Enjoy him. Be satisfied in him. The chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. That is really the secret to the Christian life. That is the reason you exist. That's the reason you are saved, believer. At the middle of the purpose of your life is the word joy. Don't miss that, Christian. Glorifying God is not done if all you have is knowledge about God. You're not operating in the purpose of your life if all you have is just, you know, things. Joy. To enjoy Him, to be satisfied in Him, to see in Him all surpassing value, and to be overwhelmed in worship, ascribing to Him all praise and glory and thanks. This is why we exist. And this is where evangelism shows itself the brightest. Because people who are doing this, they can't be quiet about who He is, what He's done, how glorious He is. Right affections for God are the goal of right thinking about God. You might jot that down. That's the heart of what I'm after today. I want to convince you of this and then call us in a greater way to live at this aim point. Right affections for God are the goal of right thinking about God. So right thinking about God has an aim point, which is right affection, right love, right feelings for God. When I preach, that is my aim point. It's not enough just to nod and be like, okay, I know more things. Good. Chalk it up. No. That's why we sing at the end of every sermon, right? That's the goal. The goal is to love Him and to be overwhelmed in awe of Him and to go out and obey Him with hearts overflowing from that place. This is how John Piper says it. We feel the truth because we know the truth. We don't know the truth because we feel the truth. You see the order, the sequence of this? You can't just say, boy, I know it's true because I feel it. I feel it. That's floaty, wishy-washy. Yeah, you know, like you're on the battlefield. You're like, I know we're winning. I feel it in my heart. As bullets are whizzing by, right? You've got to have something more than a feeling. You need more. You need ground under your feet. But why is the ground there? We feel the truth because we know the truth. God designed the mind and the truth it knows to be the servant of the heart and the joy it feels. That's what I'm after here today. I want us to, in a fuller way, understand that as we discover, we are to delight. And not just in churchy ways. I'm talking really delight in Him. God has designed us to be worshipers, not computers. I like that thought, right? What does a computer do? 1 + 1 = 2. Fact, data, right? Your computer doesn't wake you up in the morning and be like, I am loving it today. Let's do this, right? That is not what your experience of computing is. That is altogether different from the human being who has a mind and a heart, a soul and emotions. These affections that we feel are glorifying God because we have a God who is not a computer. Know this. He is a God of love, God of joy, eternally so. We image Him as we rightly respond to the truth of His glory with affection. We are not to be computers. We are to be worshipers, worshipers of God. So, first, let's begin with the fuel. That is right thinking. Right thinking is the fuel of worship. It's the fuel of worship. If you don't have fuel, you won't have fire for very long, right? You've got to have the fuel in order to have the fire. Right thinking. I rejoice at your word. Where did the rejoicing source? Where did it overflow from? It sourced from the word of God. And friends, this is why we keep beating that drum. Christian, get your nose in this book. Live in this book. Know the God of this book. Love Him, because if you're not in this book, your love will fade. If you're not in the Word of God, beholding the glory of God, your overwhelming moments are going to be less and less. We need truth in order to rejoice. As we see the Word, we discover in our God, the God of the Word, a greater value. We see spoil, we see treasure, and we're overwhelmed by it. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Remember Jesus talking with the woman at the well? And she's talking about their worship, right? We worship on this mountain, you guys. And he, it's as if he's saying, listen, worship is great, but it needs truth. You've got to worship both in spirit with passion and joy, yes. But where is that sourced? It's truth. And here he is with a capital T engaging this woman. Spirit and truth. That is the call. The and there is significant. It's not an either or. We must have the fuel in order to have the fire. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this. If you're going to worship, if you're going to exult, if you're going to praise, source it. Source. You see what he's saying? Find the source. Boast in that you understand and know me. How are you going to do that? The Word. How are you going to know him? Understand him? You got to know the Word. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. You want to rejoice? Consider that. And justice. There is a God of justice. He is the just God. There's a reason to rejoice there. And righteousness in the earth. For in these things, God says, I delight, declares the Lord. God not only delights when he sees himself, he is more satisfied with himself than anything else that exists. If that were not the case, be worried. If God is not delighted in himself above everything else, then we should have every reason to be concerned. Because he is indeed the best good. And he creates us to do the same. To be absolutely overwhelmed with his greatness. Because he is the best good that we could ever know. He's not the means to another end. The sum of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever. I love that verse. Psalm 119, if you want to fall in love with the God of his word, live in Psalm 119 for a week straight. Read it every day. Listen to it. Just get to know the heart of the psalmist. Why do we love David so much? Why do we love? Well, he knew a lot of stuff. Wrong. He knew a lot of stuff, but he loved what he knew. He loved who he knew. It was his love that caused all of the hymn book of the Bible to be written. It's love and affection. A man after God's own heart. We should esteem that and pursue that in our lives. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So knowing, you've got to know him. If you want to treasure him and be overwhelmed by him, you need to know him. Which is why our worship centers upon the preaching of the word. That is the high moment of the worship service. Not because I get to do it, no, or I'm involved at all. It's because this is authoritative, it is true, and it is the most glorious window to the worship that you have craved your whole life. The joy that you want is found in the pages of God's special revelation. It is found in the realization of his love in Christ. It is the high point. Everything else serves that. The singing, right, it points us there, but then it flows from that place. It flows. It overflows. In order for our hearts to burn bright with joy in God, we need the fuel of God's truth. I was thinking about my candle. I've got some pretty explosive oil in here, right? This stuff, it's actually really old. It's about 16, no, it's 20 years old. It's been here for a while. I actually found this candle this morning. I didn't know I had it. I'm glad I do. This candle will not light without fuel. Or if you've ever, you know, had a candle where the wax burns down and all you have left is the wick, just a little, it'll burn and then it'll fade to nothing. In order for the fire to burn, you've got to fuel it. How do you fuel it? You need God's word. You need the word of God to fuel the fire in your life. That's why every morning you open your Bible. That's why every week we say, join me in this passage. That's why for the rest of the years this church exists, by God's grace, it will be a Bible preaching church long after we're gone. The fuel is important. You've got to have the truth in order to have the fire. Churches get upside down when they minimize the truth and try to maximize the fire. It will fade. It will fade. Or maybe the worst thing that could happen is that the fire burns bright on falsehood. And you're misleading and manipulating and you're manufacturing out of nothing. And then you have an entire congregation go to hell because there's nothing really there. We need the truth of God's word. But that's not all we need. The truth exists for something more. Right feeling is the fire of worship. Right affections, you might say. Right emotions. Right feeling is the fire of worship. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. Think about that. He didn't say you shall know, right? That's assumed. That's the path to this. You shall love him with, well, you know, whatever you've got on Sunday morning. You know, it's been a long week. You got a lot going on, right? You got to think about that. Well, so bring what you can. No. That's not what he says, worshiper. He says, love him with everything that you are. Hold nothing back. There's nothing to be held back. Absolutely nothing. Don't pull any punches. Overflow with joy and praise to him. Now, love captures all kinds of things. It's not just a feeling. It's obedience. But it's to motivate obedience. It's to motivate action. We move in love because we've been loved. Emotion is at the core of the Christian life. I like how Jonathan Edwards said it. He took a lot of flack. People said, you're getting people too emotional. You gotta calm it down and just deliver the word. Just give the people truth. And he's like, no, it's not enough. He says, I should think myself in the way of my duty to raise the affections, that is the God-honoring emotions of my hearers, as high as possibly I can, provided that they are affected with nothing but truth. You see the means to the end? What's his aim point in preaching? Love God with everything that you are. Feel it and then live it. It's one of the reasons why all these years later, we're still talking about Jonathan Edwards. Huh. Listen to Psalm 95, 2 and 3. Tell yourself, is this something that you see in the Bible? Listen to these examples. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why? Okay, that's the fire. The call to the fire is burn bright. Do it. Let it sound this way. But what's the fuel? What's the why? Well, for the Lord is a great God. He's not mediocre. He's not kind of a yawner of a God. He's not like, well, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. No, he's the great God, a great king above all gods. There's no one like him. The reason our emotion is to soar is not because we're drumming up something that is false. It's because it's true. He is that good. It's reality that we're contacting. A joyful noise. Some of you do your best in singing, and you're biblical, right? Even if you can't carry a tune, because what? You're making a joyful noise, right? Keep going. Don't let up. Blast it out to the praise of God. From your soul, with everything that you are, make a joyful noise to God. Now, not everybody is going to express in the same way. There are moments where I am so overwhelmed with joy that I can't even make a noise, right? What happens is I start to cry. That is an overflowing joy too. Don't think that every church has to look exactly the same in all of these things. Some are going to raise their hands. Let's be clear. You're free to. There's nobody here who's going to be judging on you for raising your hands in praise of God. If you can do it at a Seahawks game, I guarantee you, you can do it here. He's worthy of hands lifted high. But you don't have to do that. If that's an impediment to your joy, then don't get stuck on that. Just give him your whole heart. I grew up in a wonderful church, but I was overwhelmed with the fear of man. And one of the great battles of my heart in worship was, oh, I wonder what people around me will think if I really praise God the way I want to. And I lost years of my life thinking about me in moments where I really wanted to think about him. Don't fall prey to that, friends. One of the reasons we turn the lights down is not to manufacture any kind of experience. It's to release you to praise God. And do as you desire in his praise. Now, don't be a distraction. That's why we don't have streamers and people, you know, flopping around in the aisles and running around and stuff, right? Like, we want to be aware we're not just by ourselves, you know. Not that I do that on Tuesdays when no one's in the building. But we're sensitive so that we don't distract, but don't get stuck. Well, I grew up Baptist. So did I. He is worthy. Let the Lord lead you in the work and the expression of praise from his word. My lips will pour forth praise. That's fire. What's the fuel? Four. You teach me your statutes, your commandments, your rules, your law. Oh, the psalmist, just all through Psalm 119, he can't stop just delighting in the law of God, the revelation of God, his commandments, the things that he's called us to. It's so overwhelmingly wonderful to him. My tongue will sing of your word. It's right to sing. We don't sing just because that's what we're supposed to do, right? We sing because we can't not sing. It's an overflow. We need to express our hearts. We've got to release this praise that's just bubbling up from within our soul because he is that good. How could we not sing? Exuberant, joyful expressions of praise. Exuberant, joyful expressions of praise. I would say this. Our joy is not completed until it is verbalized. There is joy that is not fully realized in your heart until it's released with words, whether they be just in your car by yourself out loud. Lord, I praise you. Look at how you've worked. Look at the sunrise. Or where there are people around, right? You go, this is how we share our joy. Come look at this. Come look. Look at what I just read this morning. You've got to hear this. Look at our God. Consider him. Or look at that sunrise. Look at the God of all glory who paints 24/7. There's a never-ending sunrise and a never-ending sunset. That's our God. He does that, and he did that to stir my heart, not just to say, it's there. No, but to exult in him and praise him. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. There's fire. Serve the Lord with gladness. By the way, that's a command. Have you noticed that? That is a command. Serve him with a glad heart. Whew. It's to be obeyed. We are not to serve the Lord just like, okay, here we go, Sunday morning. More coffee. Here I am. No. Now, that may be how you are wrestling, right, to get here. Fight for joy. Fight for joy in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Serve him with gladness. It doesn't mean that we're always going to just be chipper, like I was saying a few weeks ago. We just bounce into church. It's all perfect. No, no. But it does mean at the core of who I am, there is a reason to rejoice, and I am here to do it today. Let's go. Let's go. It's not just Sunday. It's every day. It's every day. Come into his presence with singing. I always wondered what that would look like as people are rolling into church. Right? Families are, you know, I don't know how to do that, but you guys can figure it out as families, maybe in the car on the way. Think about, how do we come in with singing? Well, we certainly sing as we're here. It's one of the things that happens as you go through the week, as you have those songs that we sang together on Sunday echoing in your mind. You wake up with them in the morning, ask yourself in the morning, what song am I singing? What song am I singing? I woke up singing, lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd. I'll follow you all the way. That was this morning. Ask your spouse, ask your brother, your sister, hey, what are you singing today? It's good to recognize. If you don't have a song, get back to the fuel, right? Get in the fuel so that there can be fire. Know that the Lord is God. That is, he is expressing this praise. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know this. That's truth. It's true. How do we get the fire? Know him. Remember this. Don't forget this. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Who are we that we should be called sons of God? And so we are. The reason to sing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Now, Psalm 100 is four sets of threes. It's a fascinating thing to watch. Four sets of threes. There is fire and fuel. Fire and fuel. It's back and forth all the way through the verses of Psalm 100. That starts with fuel. Come with songs of praise and thanksgiving and give thanks to him. Bless his name. That's fire. How does that source itself? Four. Look for that word four. Circle that word four as you're reading through the Psalms. Four. The Lord is good. Is there anyone more worthy of my heart today? All of my heart. His steadfast love endures forever. That means today, his loyal love is mine. Though undeserved, it is indeed mine through Jesus Christ. His faithfulness to all generations. I do not fear that he will pull back his love or that what I have tasted, others will miss out on. Because he's good and he's faithful, his promises are there, and we can proclaim his promises. If you're here and you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, come, taste and see. You can know this joy that we have tasted. Come soon. Come today. He goes on, Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Look at this. This is fuel. I want to learn. I want to understand. Teach me, Lord. Oh, pray that, Christian. Teach me. Teach me as I open my Bible. I want to walk in your truth. I don't just want to know it. I want to obey it. And then this is a great prayer, Christian. Unite my heart to fear your name. Take what I know to be true as I learn of you and unite it with my heart. Bridge that gap. And then the fire comes. I will give thanks to you, my God, with my whole heart and will glorify your name forever. Four, so we're back to fuel. Do you see this? This is a good way to read the Psalms. Look for the reason to rejoice and then look for the rejoicing. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Friends, fuel and fire. Discovery and delight. Doctrine and doxology. This is the Christian life. Godward truth and Godward emotion. Now, here's the thing you've got to be aware of. Each of us, we're just wired a little different. So, some of us are wired to be more theologians, truth people, right? That's kind of the way the Lord wired me. I'm a little more wired to I want to know, I want to understand, I got to see this, I got to figure it out, and I love that. That's good. But I tell you, what God did when he released me from my fear of man, asking this question, I wonder what everyone else is thinking about me. Oh, praise God, when he set me free from that trap, my heart began to soar. And I began to find the freedom to just release his praise. If you're inclined toward just kind of the Godward truth piece and a little bit suspicious or cautious or nervous about the emotion piece, then be rightly adjusted today by the Word of God. Embrace right affections for God as he intends and has commanded you throughout the Psalms to do. Not just living by emotions. I'm not saying follow your heart. I'm saying don't live by emotion, but don't live without emotion. If you're here and your heart is given toward that experience thing and you're just kind of that inclination, I just don't want to do the work. I'm not really into the Bible. I just kind of downplay things. I just want to feel it. I just want to feel. Then be rightly adjusted today. The and is here for you. You need the fuel. You've got to lean into this. Doctrine is for your joy. And if you want that fuel, that fire to burn bright, then light it evermore with the truth of God and his word. And you will experience a truer worship than you've ever known. Godward truth and Godward emotion. Our response today, as the saying goes, the distance between the head and the heart, it depends upon how people measure. Measure from the chin, they say 8 inches. Measure from the top of your head, they say 18 inches. I don't know how they measure it. We go from the nose and split the difference. But they actually say it's the longest distance known to man. Why would they say that? I would say there's an eternity of distance between the head and the heart. It's the difference between a computer and a worshiper. Right? Where are you at today? As you came in, are you just interested in kind of knowing and understanding more? Or did you come in today saying, I want to know you more, that I might love you more? I want to worship you from the truth of who you are. It's a both and. It's a both and. And if you're here and you have not tasted of the fire that burns, I can tell you this. There is truth for you. God is glorious. He has given us his revelation, and he has given us his Son, the gift of salvation, that sinners like all of us in this room might know him and be forgiven because of his finished work. If you don't know what that's like, come talk to me afterwards. Listen to the testimonies of these two who are about to come. They are burning bright with the fire of God because of the gospel truth that has so changed their lives. The same can happen for you. I just encourage you, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Don't let another day go by. We have been given spectacular truths, and we are called in response to have soaring affections. So, if I was to be the doctor of the soul today and you were in my clinic and I was given a checkup, right? We're checking your brain, checking your heart, checking here, your head. How are things going up here? Do we need to make adjustments? How's the input? How's the truth? Are you delighting in the word first with your head? But we're also checking that heart. Is there a heartbeat? Is there fire burning for God? Are you more than a computer? Where do we need to adjust the diet? Some of you need to just be in the word more. You're like, really, it's the flame is small. The fire just isn't burning bright. Then open this glorious book and behold the glory of God regularly, each day. Live in his word and watch that fire grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving all of us, for redeeming us holistically in that sense, not just opening our eyes to see truth, but changing our hearts, Lord, giving us a heart transplant. We thank you for the way that you work in our lives to bring salvation, to accomplish what we could never on our own. Lord, you are indeed glorious. You are the most satisfying reality we could ever know. Oh, forgive us, Lord, when we look anywhere else but you. Be unto us the greatest joy, the greatest reality. May we see in your Son Jesus the most amazing love and reason to rejoice. Father, forgive us for giving our hearts to lesser things in ways that we fail to give our hearts to you, for showing emotion at Seahawks games in ways that we fail to show emotion to you. Oh, Father, be our greatest treasure. Be the reason for our rejoicing today. And stir us to your praise, even now as we hear these testimonies, even now as we give thanks for your kindness, O Lord. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I always like to point out, there's nothing saving about the water in this tank. It is only Ferndale water, okay? It's not saving anybody. This is to be done in obedience to the command of God through Jesus Christ. This was his command to his followers. And it is a in a sense, a proclamation of the gospel in itself, a visible word. So those who come have identified in Christ their faith. They've trusted Jesus. They've turned from their sins to embrace him alone as their Savior, Lord, and treasure, hope alone in this life and the next. And as they are laid back under the water, it's a proclamation that they are saying, by faith, when Jesus died, I died with him to the old self. All of me, that rebel heart, that sinner, all of that, by faith in him, when he died, I died. And when he was raised, I was raised by faith. Because of his finished work, I'm a new creation. The old has passed, it's buried, it's before Christ, it's dead and gone. The new has come. And I live for him now. I am his forever because of his finished work. And so it is a wonderful thing that we only do for those who are indeed believers. No one today is getting saved by acting or doing anything. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace alone through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So as we gather today, we do this together because it's a special thing. It's a family experience that we get to share. And I'm so excited for you guys to get to know Ernesto and Estrella. Estrella, why don't you come first? Ernesto, you can come up here and just stand up here and watch.
Hi, everyone. My name is Estrella, and today I feel incredibly blessed and thankful to stand here and share what God has done in my life as I take this step of faith through baptism. Last year was one of the hardest years of my life. I went through struggles and pain that shook me to my core. There were moments when I felt completely broken. I didn't understand why certain things were happening, but I know I now see that God was using those moments to open my eyes and draw me closer to him. Through the pain, I cried out to God like never before. And even in the middle of my brokenness, he was there
He never left me. He showed me his love, his peace, and his faithfulness. What I thought was the worst season of my life turned into this, the season where I learned to truly trust him. Today, I'm being baptized as a way of saying that my life belongs to Jesus. I've seen his power to heal, to restore, and transform. And I want my life to always reflect his love and grace. I'm thankful that even in the midst of the hardest times, God was working and he never wastes a single moment. One verse that has spoken to me is Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God has shown me that even in the hardest seasons, even the hardest seasons are a part of his plan. And for that, I give him all the glory.
Amen. Praise God.
Do you want to tell them I'm reading?
Yeah.
I'm going to read it in Spanish
as well for my family. Hola. Hoy me siento increíblemente bendecida y agradecida de poder compartir lo que Dios ha hecho en mi vida mientras tomo este paso de fe a través del bautismo. El año pasado fue uno de los años más difíciles de mi vida. Pasé por luchas y dolores que me sacudieron por completo. Y hubo momentos en los que me sentí completamente rota. No entendí por qué estaban sucediendo las cosas, pero ahora veo que Dios estaba usando esos momentos para abrir mis ojos y acercarme más a Él. En medio del dolor, clamé a Dios como nunca antes, y aún en mi quebrantamiento, Él estuvo ahí. Nunca me dejó. Me mostró su amor, su paz, su fidelidad. Lo que pensé que era la peor temporada de mi vida se convirtió en la temporada donde aprendí a confiar verdaderamente en Él. Hoy me estoy bautizando como mi manera de decir que mi vida le pertenece a Jesús. He visto su poder para sanar, restaurar y transformar, y quiero que mi vida siempre refleje su amor y su gracia. Estoy agradecida porque incluso en los momentos más difíciles, Dios estaba obrando. Él nunca desperdicia ni un solo momento. Un versículo que me ha tocado mi corazón es Romanos 8:28. Y sabemos que a los que aman a Dios, todas las cosas les ayudan a bien. Eso es a los que conforme a su propósito son llamados. Dios me ha mostrado que incluso en los momentos más difíciles forman parte de su plan. Y por eso le doy toda la gloria.
Let's clap again. Billy is here to help us as well. Billy's had a special role that God has used him in as he's walked with both Estrella and Ernesto this year. And so it's a privilege to have you, brother. Go ahead and have a seat. Praise God for this testimony, Estrella. Let me just ask you one question before we baptize you. We've already gone over this, but just so that the folks can hear. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, and treasure? Is he your hope alone in this life and the next?
He is.
Okay. On the basis of your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in his death for you, and raised to new life in him. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah.
Good morning, church. My name is Ernesto, and I'm humble and grateful to share my story today as I take this step of faith through baptism. Before this year, my life was far from God. I lived without purpose or direction, making choices that hurt those I care about and left me feeling empty. I went to church, but I didn't fully understand what it means to truly follow Jesus. Everything changed on January 4th. That was the day I finally surrendered my life to Christ. I realized that way I was living wasn't working, and I needed something greater. Jesus met me where I was, in my brokenness, and showed me his love and forgiveness. He didn't condemn me for my past, but gave me a chance to start over. Since that day, my life has been transformed. God has restored relationships I thought were beyond repair. Give me peace when there was once chaos. And show me that it means to live with hope and purpose. I know that I'm forgiven, loved, and called to something greater than myself. Today I'm getting baptized to declare to the world that I belong to Jesus. I'm leaving behind my old life and stepping into a new life he has given me. My prayer is that my story points to others, to God, who saves, redeems, and transforms. A Bible verse that has encouraged me is 2 Corinthians 5:17. There before is anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. To God be all the glory for what he has done in my life and what he continues to do every day. Amen.
Amen.
Buenos días. Estoy agradecido y honrado de compartir mi historia hoy y mientras tomo este paso de fe a través del bautismo. Antes de este año, mi vida estaba lejos de Dios. Vivía sin propósito y sin dirección, tomando decisiones que lastimaban a las personas que más amaba y que me dejaban vacío. Iba a la iglesia, pero no entendía completamente lo que significaba seguir a Jesús de verdad. Todo cambió el 4 de enero. Ese fue el día en que finalmente rendí mi vida a Cristo. Me di cuenta de que la forma en que estaba viviendo no funcionaba y que necesitaba algo más grande. Jesús me encontró donde estaba, en mi quebrantamiento, y me mostró su amor y perdón. Él no me condenó por mi pasado, sino que me dio la oportunidad de empezar de nuevo. Desde ese día, mi vida ha sido transformada. Dios ha restaurado relaciones que pensé que eran irreparables. Me ha dado paz donde antes había caos. Y me ha mostrado lo que significa vivir con esperanza y propósito. Ahora sé que soy perdonado, amado y llamado a algo más grande que yo mismo. Hoy estoy siendo bautizado para declarar al mundo que pertenezco a Jesús. Estoy dejando atrás mi vida, mi vieja vida, y entrando en la nueva vida que Él me ha dado. Mi oración es que mi historia apunte a otros, al Dios que salva, redime y transforma. Un versículo de la Biblia que me ha animado es 2 Corintios 5:17. De modo que si alguno está en Cristo, nueva criatura es. Las cosas viejas pasaron, he aquí todas son hechas nuevas. A Dios sea toda la gloria por lo que ha hecho en mi vida y por lo que continúa haciendo cada día.
Good. All right, brother. What a joy, what a celebration this is. Ernesto, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your treasure? Is he your hope alone in this life and the next?
Yes, he is.
Okay. On the basis of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in his death for you, and raised to new life in him. Yeah. Praise God.
Okay, I'm being baptized today because I want to obey Jesus' command. Recently, I was born again, and when I trusted Jesus as my Savior from sin, Jesus died on the cross so that through him I can be forgiven for my sins. He has shown me unconditional love, and I will always be thankful for his sacrifice that has allowed me to be forgiven and have eternal life. I love Jesus, I want to follow his example in the way I live, and I want to share his love and forgiveness with others. A verse that means a lot to me is 1 John 4 through 11. In this love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Good. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Now, I've asked you this already a number of times, but let me just confirm it here with you. Ken, have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, your Lord, your treasure, and your hope alone in this life and the next?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Based upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Jesus in his death for you.
All the way under.
Okay, and raised to new life in him. All right. That's good, my brother.